Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Park Ridge Presby podcast. This is not a message podcast, but a conversation podcast with some of our church members. So I'm excited to introduce them to you. And this podcast comes at the perfect time because it's right before Valentine's Day. And this is a love story. So thanks for listening. Okay, guys. Well, thanks again for taking the time to be on our Park Ridge Presby podcast. Tell us who you are.
So my name is Laura Surprise, previously Laura Sheehan, and I grew up in the Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. I grew up in Park Ridge, and I've recently moved back to Chicago. Philip and I have moved down here and our dog, Freddie. I work at Tyson Foods in consumer insights and business analytics, and that's what I've been doing.
Awesome. And my name's Philip Surprise, and I'm from Milwaukee. Family's from Wisconsin. Most of my family's from upper Wisconsin, like the Appleton area and Wausau and so on. So kind of pretty far away from Chicago. And Milwaukee was always a hometown. My dad was in the Army. My mom was a teacher. Pretty simple life. Went to Catholic high school and grade school in Milwaukee, and then ended up going out to Connecticut for college at Quinnipiac University, which a lot of people from the Midwest don't know that name, Quinnipiac, but it's a fairly decent-sized college out in Connecticut. And I played soccer there, and I had scholarships and everything. Then, right after college, I played professional soccer for 4 years. And then I kind of bounced around between like full-time jobs because I didn't expect to be having my career end within 4 years. I expected it to go 10, 15, or as long as possible, longer than four. And most recently, I was working in logistics, and then the pandemic hit. And I had a great opportunity moving down to Chicago right when Laura and I were really starting to tie things together. And before the pandemic hit, I had a full-time opportunity down here coaching soccer at a very, very high level. And it was a full-time opportunity that doesn't come in Milwaukee just because of the market in a smaller city. So the pandemic hit, all of that's kind of been on hold, but now that everything's picking up again, it looks like you're going to, how do I say it? Within a month or two, everything should go back to normal on the recreational side and sports side with U Sports and everything with the vaccine now available. So that's where I'm focused for, just career wise, and also just getting to know the new city.
Chicago's a bigger city for
much
sure.
Much bigger, yeah. And the one thing I've realized, like living in Milwaukee, I mean, I did live right outside of New York City when I went to college. That's where my, in Connecticut, we were in the middle of nowhere, Connecticut. We were right outside New York City. So I got to experience that. But moving back to Milwaukee, and then moving down here, you just realize there's just so many different opportunities. There's more opportunity, even for Laura's career too, in consumer insights. So that's been a really nice part of it. And every day I feel like even if I just drive a couple, down a couple different blocks, I'm seeing more things that you don't get in Milwaukee. So that's been really nice to see.
Yeah, that's really true. I feel like the way Chicago neighborhoods are laid out, like, each neighborhood has its own character and you can end up kind of in a totally new place.
So that's exciting. And it really feels like, Chicago's the big brother to Milwaukee. It's just Milwaukee, just a smaller version of Chicago, but I'm really starting to experience the culture down here and how literally each neighborhood has its own personality. And I'm really liking that a lot. And where we are living now in Portage Park, it's got a very dense cultural background with a lot of immigrants here too, which is really nice to be around too. A lot of diversity. So
yeah, that's really exciting. Did you ever think that coaching would be a part of your career given that you were an athlete for so long?
Well, I always did it kind of part-time because I enjoyed doing it. It was kept me involved with the game. And also when I first started coaching, I was coaching a high school with my dad. And my dad was a director at a big club in Milwaukee. And what I realized was that when I was coaching while I was playing professionally, it was opening my mind to a different side of the game. I wasn't thinking just like a player. And I was learning how to connect with you know, players as a coach and translating that to being, you know, using those connections that you can make as a coach as a player now. And that's what I really enjoyed about it, was that it made me just a better person in that, you know, arena and in that, you know, in that field, in the professional field. And now I like to consider myself very, very successful at it. Just with all the years of experience of playing, coaching, even being a referee. You know, I don't want to sound like, I don't know how to put it, but you're demanded now at a lot of people are looking for it, like coaches like myself now for these clubs.
Experience from all of those perspectives, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I take it seriously, and I'm always looking to learn too. So.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep.
And you guys are newlyweds. You got married this summer. How did you guys meet?
So I had moved to Milwaukee for a job in 2017, and I had actually been in Wisconsin for the past 5 years prior to October, and the reason for that is I moved up to Madison for my MBA program at University of Wisconsin-Madison, and so I spent 2 years there doing my MBA, in which time I did an internship at SC Johnson, and then after completing that internship, they invited me back full time. So when I moved to Milwaukee, I started this new job in a new city where I didn't really know many people. So I kind of looked around and said, I guess I'm going to start dating. I thought that maybe that's going to be a way into meeting new people and getting to know the city. So when I first moved there, Philip and I met, and we went to have drinks at this downtown bar.
First day we connected right away.
Yeah,
I knew it right away. I don't know about her, but
when he walked in, I was like, "Oh, he's cute. I like him." We had already been talking though a lot. We were texting back and forth about all of these. Like, he had all these great questions for me, and I loved like how engaged we were like with one another. It wasn't one of those where like, you're texting with someone like a little bit and then you wait a long time. Like, we were back and forth a lot because we were just like so interested in one another, because I loved like hearing all about his background in sports, in his professional career, in coaching these really fantastic teams that he had been coaching. And for me, I told him all about what I was up to and my travels. During that particular year, I actually traveled to, I think, 13 different countries in that year. So I had a lot of stories. And so when I moved there, it really worked out also that Philip was from Milwaukee, so he knew a lot about it. But also, I was learning a lot about Milwaukee. So in a way, he could like be a tourist in his own city, and we could try new things and go to new places that he had never tried. And before you know it, my family was up there in Milwaukee for our annual trip to Oktoberfest. It's kind of this big German festival at these like Bavarian soccer fields just outside of Milwaukee. And my family always goes up for...
I met your parents there, right?
And that's when Philip met my parents.
2-1. This is like 2-3 weeks after us only, you know, meeting each other. And we kept telling each other, we gotta take it slow. Take it slow. We can't, you know, let's back off, let's take it slow and see where it goes. Sure enough, 3 weeks I was meeting her parents. And the next night she came out to my parents' house.
We were all dressed in lederhosen and dirndls.
Oh wow.
Everyone's in German outfits.
Are there pictures of this?
Yeah.
There, I might need one of those for our Instagram promotion. That sounds like a perfect way to meet your future.
Yeah.
And the next day, Philip asked me that night, he's like, can we go out to see my parents tomorrow? And I'm like, sure, that sounds great. And it was just the best time. I mean, it was so easy to like really like love them right away. They were just the kindest people and so inviting. And I could tell right then, I'm like, I really like this guy. And like, this is a good thing. So, and I remember like on the way home from that, I'm like, I could see like calling you my boyfriend.
And then she just wouldn't leave me alone. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. Yeah, that's how, I mean, we hit it off right away. Within the first month, we were full-blown dating.
Yeah.
That's amazing. How long did you guys date before you took it to the next level?
Between 2.5 and 3 years, is that right?
Okay.
Yeah, about 2.5 years. We were kind of hit the stage, like, it was like the summer before COVID. It was 2019, actually, when we first started saying, hey, should we start thinking about, like,
moving to the next level?
Yeah, moving.
And we were very, what I loved about it is that we were very, very open about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like, well, I don't know. We were like, all right, let's game plan here. I'm serious. You're serious.
Because it sounds like you guys were pretty serious from the beginning in terms of being very interested and invested in each other. And then, you know, wanted to take your dating relationship seriously so that it set you guys up for a serious future together.
And if I, you know, and if I could give anybody any kind of advice who's on that path with someone that they're like, it just make sure you communicate with them.
Yeah.
Game plan with each other, because that made the whole transition between us living together, us getting married, us getting engaged. I mean, it just made it seamless because it's always great to have a surprise and a shock here and there. But like, we both felt that, you know, if we want to, you know, actually get married and get engaged, that we should talk about it. And, you know, I just feel like in your late 20s, it's kind of, I don't know, we're a little bit more mature to have just a surprise. Like, oh my God. Laura got engaged and she had no idea.
Yeah, I feel like Hollywood has set us up for just utter failure.
Absolutely.
Because I remember a friend saying once, the woman should never be surprised. Like, something's gone terribly wrong if somebody is asking her to spend the rest of her life with that person.
Exactly.
And they've never talked about it.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just too big of a commitment to just like.
We talked about everything. We talked about like what we wanted with like having kids in the future, like all kinds of different scenarios. Like, we just really thought through like exactly what our expectations of a marriage would be. And like, we just wanted to really think through all of that before really coming into deciding that's the commitment and the direction we wanted to go. But at the same time, I remember us saying like, you know, when you have momentum and when it's going well, like, just take that momentum and keep building on that. And like, you know, there's never a right time. I've known people who have gotten married after a few months or 6 months, and it's been great. And I've known people who have gotten married after 10 years and it did not work out. And so that, or, you know, or the opposite. And I think that, you know, that's why I said, like, let's just take this momentum and let's take something good and keep building. And I'm glad I think we've done so much.
Yeah, 2020 was a hell of a year for us. It really was. And the things that we got done. And the crazy about it, like I was talking about it at Thanksgiving up in, at my family's Thanksgiving up in Wausau that Laura came up to and Freddie came up to. We talked about at dinner, you know, my uncle, he like had a toast because there's a lot of big changes that year and everything. And one of the things I reminded everybody right after my uncle was done giving a toast that I reminded everybody that the Thanksgiving in 2019.
Yeah.
2019, I told everybody Laura and I are planning to get engaged, planning to move in together. We just got a dog and we're going to be moving and this is what's going to happen. Sure enough, 2020 Thanksgiving, all of that happened. So we game planned around it. And I don't think a lot of people can, at least our age, can say that they were that focused, they communicated that well, you know, and got things done that they wanted to get done.
Yeah. And I think you can say that about people our age, not in a global pandemic. And then you add on all the complications of work and our social lives being impacted and our health and gatherings and all of it, our emotional health, everything that's been impacted in 2020. And I think there's a lot of people our age that are probably still kind of like drowning in the impact of 2020 and or feeling a little like, you know, untethered, you know, and not sure of where they're supposed to go and not sure what their goals are and dreams are anymore. And it sounds like you two like were already in sync and use that to ground you in a really important way to get through all of those things.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, we had setbacks too. You know, I mean, first of all, Laura was taking on a brand new job in a whole different city. We're actually gonna, we were gonna be living, we did for what, a month? Yeah. We lived apart. She lived at her parent, like for her work, because she got a job in Chicago and I was still back in Milwaukee. So we lived apart during the week and then only like saw each other on the weekend. And then, you know, my plans for moving down to Chicago with, you know, coaching at this club fell through because of the pandemic. So like we had our lows, but we made sure the highs were highlighted more than the lows. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely had a roller coaster to it. I mean, I still have things at my desk that I was at for all of 3 weeks. Starting a brand new job, I was trying to get settled in. I thought, you know, this is the US, like it's gonna be fine, like we'll brush through this.
The pandemic actually kind of helped, didn't it?
Because
we got to like see each other a lot more. I mean, we were literally gonna be doing long distance in the weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I, you know, I wasn't thrilled about. No one's ever thrilled about it, but we were gonna make it work because I, you know, we knew we would guarantee to see each other on the weekend, but the pandemic kind of helped our relationship, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, we, like, prior to all this, like, Philip coaches, you know, like, 3-4 nights a week and goes on soccer tournaments on the weekends, like, is out at games. So, in a lot of ways, by...
In the college, and I coached that, too, in the fall, yeah.
Yeah, taking that break for some time, we were able to, like, now spend all this time in the evenings, cook together, relax together, just really, like, enjoy each other's company, go on longer walks with our dog.
And again, game plan and keep building up that momentum.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's partly what, you know, has made this year like pretty strong for us. But yeah, it's had this like roller coaster of events.
Yeah.
I'd love to when we,
you know, we came out on top. We like to say that.
We'll talk about the ring when we talk about the proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the proposal because I have so many questions about wedding planning.
She helped me pick out the ring, which I was very thankful for
because
I don't think we both feel the same way with this, that like, I don't want to, what if I buy something that she doesn't like? I want her to, if she's going to be keeping this for us for life, I want her to at least enjoy what it is. So we picked it out together, but she didn't know. And I said, yes, obviously we're going to be getting engaged, but she didn't know when. She had no idea when.
Right.
So I had to game plan around that on when I was going to drop that question, which made it kind of fun too.
For sure.
And real quick on the rings, I think like while there is a ton of information out there online, and yes, you can share all of the photos that you love and look at like these beautiful rings. There's so many ways to like make a ring look gorgeous on photos. I think nothing like can take away from like physically seeing them in person and trying that on your hand and really feeling and looking at it, like how that feels on you, because that's what you have to wear now for your life. And I think that doing that and taking that step together and like be able to say, hey, what do you think about this? Like, I just need it. You know, I loved being able to really look at all the options because I ended up choosing something a little different than I would have originally thought. But I love it even more because we were able to do that together and take those steps together. So, can I mention what happened?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Of course.
So we were doing those. We were starting to visit stores back in early March of 2020. And as you can imagine, we put in the order.
Oh, yeah.
The ring was in their hands. It just had to be, I think, manufactured or something. And then a week later, they say, we've made a corporate decision to close all of our stores and we cannot hand out any inventory right now. But don't you worry, your jewelry is safe with us.
So the company had it for 90 days.
Yeah.
So I bought it. I was supposed to get it the next week. Pandemic hit right that. It was like literally the same weekend, wasn't it?
It felt
and
like.
And they held it hostage for me for 90 days. I'm not even kidding you. It was 3 months long.
Oh my gosh.
She didn't quite know when I would pick it up or not. So I still had that little bit of surprise.
Yeah.
You know, to hang over her.
Oh. I know people are going through much worse. But that felt like torture.
Yeah.
Because we had already like made the
decision. 3 months is a long time. That's a lot.
My birthday passed. Like, there were some major events that had come by, and I'm like, when?
So did you give him a little side eye? Like, what is my birthday? Like, what happened? Like, or were you just flat out like, wait a second, I thought we had a plan here?
Well, she was patient.
I was patient.
Yeah, she was definitely patient in regards to that.
Yeah. Well, because I knew, like, it's not really his fault. Like, it is what it is. But I was, like, internally just dealing with you, like, ugh, this is just bothering me.
Yeah.
But you didn't know when I picked it up. I was lying to you about that. Like, no, I don't have it yet. No, I still don't have it. Six months in, no, I still don't have it. But really, you know, I had it after that third month.
Yeah.
And then, like, One small giveaway. So as you might recall, like, all hairdressers and like any beauty appointments of any kind were closed. And suddenly end of June rolls around. We're getting ready to go to the 4th of July, which is our like little risky trip for us and our family. We were going to my lake house and Philip managed to squeeze in a hair appointment. And Philip's hair was getting like way down his face.
Some guy in a back alley of Milwaukee who was willing to cut my hair because they were all closed. I had to get it done because I knew there were going to be some pictures that weekend.
And he comes home and I'm just like, oh, there's my boyfriend again. You're hiding behind all this hair. And he comes and I look at him, I'm like, I think I'm going to get my nails done. So I put my mask, got my nails done, and we go to my lake house where I think the first night went by, I got like
dressed nice,
and I'm like,
yeah, for sure.
Sounds like
to wait another night. Yeah.
Nothing tonight.
But that at her lake house was a no-brainer. I mean, I know Laura's talked about that even before we like started dating, that was her favorite place to be in the world, you know. And it's a great place. They got a huge, you know, a big lake house, a big yard. You know, you could spend forever up, you know, at that house. And I know Laura's loved it her whole life. So it's kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah. So that's where on July 3rd is when we were taking, like, family photos, me, him, and our dog out on the dock. And we were taking photos together. And my cousin was taking the photos. And he said, hey, could you take a video now real quick? And I thought that, like, that was kind of a clue. And that's where he gets down on one knee while I'm holding my dog.
Yeah.
And he, like, I mean, for all of briefly 1 second, gets on one knee. And I don't even know what he said, but yeah, he proposed. Asked me to marry him.
I didn't stay on my knee for very long because I'm on a dock. Remember that? I was shaking. I was nervous and everything.
You didn't need to fall in, too.
The ring, too. It's gone if it's in the lake, you know.
Yeah.
Too many YouTube videos we've seen where someone's like throwing the ring off the rowboat or into the dock or so he stands up and I'm like saying through my tears, like, of course I'll marry you. And he puts it on my hand, which I immediately try to shove on because I'm holding my dog and we're over some water.
Wow. Yeah.
But my cousin who was taking the video had no idea, so she was surprised. And the funny thing is my brother and two cousins were in the water like at sunset and they suddenly start cheering and applauding.
A couple boats around here too.
Yeah. My girl cousins start like running down to the dock. Nobody else knew that this was happening. So this was one of those occasions where even though it was around other people, I was really happy that we had come on this journey together as like a team. Like we always say, like, we're a team. And I was glad that we, like, I think that we knew, like, this is what we wanted, this is when we wanted it, this is like what I pictured and what I envisioned. And I'm just really glad that's how we did it. So we immediately went up to the house to announce it to everyone. And it was just like such happy news.
It
was a really, really great way to spend the Fourth of July.
It will be your favorite Fourth of July forever.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a good summary of it.
Philip, I liked what you said earlier about how like there is a lot of ups and downs, but you guys, your highs were really high, you know,
in 2020.
And So getting to not just get engaged in 2020 and know that you're on this path together, but to be surrounded by your loved ones in a place that you love, you'll have that forever.
You know?
Even though it's like dead center in the middle of a really, really turbulent year. That's yours, you know, and that's solid ground. So that's always good to us.
Yeah.
I love it. So that was July 3rd. And when was your wedding?
So the wedding was July 24th.
Yeah, I mean,
it was 3 weeks later.
Hold on.
There was
a lot of like, there's a lot of information that you need to know.
Yeah. But I just want to know the date. Yeah. So July 3rd to July what?
24th.
Wow.
That's 21.
Yeah, your listeners are probably freaking out right now. What were they doing?
So when you guys got engaged and married, I was on maternity leave and barely sleeping. So you could have told me it was a 3-month-long engagement and I would have believed you. But now I understand that we're talking about a 3-week-long engagement. Is that what you're telling me? Tell us. Tell us your story.
So, like, when we first talked about it, first of all, you knew that the church situation was going to be, like, tough. Right around that time, Illinois allowed a certain amount of people, and it was, like, 20, right? 20 people in churches together. Mm-hmm. So they raised it from, like, 10 to 20. You knew the vaccine wasn't coming around. You knew the state in Wisconsin or Illinois wasn't going to open up. You knew the reception halls weren't going to be there. You knew none of that, like, was going to be available. And also, like, I know Laura has some friends, but I have some friends that, you know, were engaged a year. The pandemic hit, and then they put their engagement, like, they had to extend their engagement another year and a half. So some of these people that I see, and I have a lot of friends that are in this situation where they are in 2.5, 2.5 years to 3 years to even 4-year engagements because they had the reception plan. They would lose all the money if they cancel. So they keep pushing it back, pushing it back, pushing it back. And we both said, like, we both agreed on it. If we're going to do, why don't we just do it? And, you know, you know, the you guys didn't have anything going on that weekend and everything. And we got approved really quickly, right? Was that, that was how that went.
There's so much. There's like so much here. So like there was like about a week where we were deciding, do we do this in October or do we like even if it's a year from now, could we do it outside somewhere? Like I was like trying to weigh all these options and the risks with them. But honestly, in July of last year, if some of us may remember, we were all saying it could take up to 2 years for this vaccine to be approved.
Yeah, no one even knew the vaccine would be coming out by the end of 2020.
No one had any idea. Yeah. And even now, like even today, we're looking around and I mean, it's still going to be quite some time before people can really have really big weddings. And I guess a lot of people who know me probably would know I've always pictured I would probably have a big wedding.
You
I have
a big family. Yeah.
I enjoy big parties. I've always just pictured that it would be a pretty big event, up to possibly 200 people. And so we kind of looked around and we said, like, I don't want to wait over a year. I don't want an engagement that's over 12 months. I want something that's, if we're going to bother with 12 months, why do we even need to, like, if it's going to need to be a small event, then do we really need to do 12 months out? Could we just do something sooner? And so I was talking with Josh and we started talking through options, Pastor Josh. And I talked to my family and with Philip and we were like, let's go ahead and plan a wedding with just our immediate families and our immediate closest loved ones. It grew a little bit more than we originally started with.
What was the max? 22, 23?
Not even. We only had 17 people.
17,
and that included Philip and I.
But again, it was the closest family members.
Oh, now I suddenly remembered. We were actually going to go ahead and do like a courthouse ceremony because we're like, let's just go ahead and get married at the courthouse and then plan this big wedding and such later on. But then I found out that they were doing all those processes virtually.
Via Zoom. Yeah.
So that's right.
If we have to do this virtually, let's just, and then it was something about like, we could technically do the wedding ceremony anywhere. I'm like, let's go ahead and have it in the church. So I had multiple phone calls, many texts with Pastor Josh between the engagement and the wedding to coordinate exactly all the names of exactly who would be there, when they would be there. We had meetings with him on Zoom. We talked through every single detail. So I got on the bandwagon of we did a Friday because I thought we needed to do it on Friday for some reason.
I don't remember why.
It was like something about like courthouses or something being open. I just committed. So we just marched down that path, and I was a little surprised too with how many decisions go into the ceremony itself. Like, I knew I wanted a more traditional ceremony. We both did. Like, we weren't really the kind of people that wanted to write our own vows. I've always just pictured having more traditional style vows.
That made it easier too.
Helped. There were still just a lot of decisions. So I probably made more of these than he did, because the Park Ridge Presbyterian Church is the church I grew up in. And so for me, it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my family. Both my mom and my dad have been deeply involved in the church my whole life. I think my mom would have it no other way than for me to get married in our church. So, and same with myself. While I'm not someone who has always known what I wanted my wedding to be like, one thing I think I knew for sure was that it would be in the Park Ridge Presbyterian Church.
And I understood that. Yeah. And I was, let's go with it.
Yeah, and Philip, he grew up Catholic, but mm-hmm. your parents are now going.
But we already planned to be moving down here too. So it made even more sense to go, to the church you grew up at. So
So but we then worked really closely with Josh about the exact expectations, logistics of exactly who, like full names of people on both sides of the wedding party.
Yeah. And Josh was efficient. He was boom, boom, boom. We got it done.
Yeah.
Very good.
Like exactly when I would show up at the church and with who and where we would stand, who would be when you and your family, Philip and his family, would go to the church, because I wanted to be alone, like in a separate space before he got there. And we kept it a surprise. So he saw me for the first time when we went down the aisle. I know some people are doing like the sneak peeks, like the early views beforehand. I know wedding photographers, some of them recommend it because sometimes the wedding day is really busy, and some photographers say that they think it gives them a chance to have more time with your spouse. But
before we go any further, there's only a few surprises left in life. Mm. You know what? Having the gender of your baby, seeing your wife for the first time walking down the aisle on that day. I kind of wanted to keep that little surprise that you had left.
Yeah. So we did that. We chose to do that.
Zia's right in Edison Park. We went there right after the church, right?
Yeah.
After church.
Yeah. It was also really great because our church is such a great community. We actually were able to coordinate with the Hansen family. Steve and Jacob Hansen were our photographer and videographer, and I had multiple calls with them to talk about exactly what shots I wanted, exactly where and when we would need them. They ended up being there with me for the entire day. Like, when I say me, like, they came to my hairdresser appointment, and they were with us even after dinner and like coming over to my parents' house for our after gathering we had. And I just wanted to just give a shout out to the Hansen photography team, because they were just spectacular, so professional, such experts. So really appreciate their work. And they really captured the day in a way that every single time I see our photos or our videos, like, I start to tear up because it's...
They did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, a year like 2020, somebody might cut that corner or be like, we don't really need a video, or just pictures of the ceremony is enough. And
yeah, I would recommend it to anybody. You know what I mean? They make that decision look really, really good with the quality that they produce. Yeah. They tell such a good story.
I would say invest in that, because, you know, the day goes by so quickly, but it's such a like day full of memories. And for you, your spouse, and the ones closest to you, you don't want them looking at their phones or their cameras. You want them to just be present, and especially you yourself. I don't think I brought my phone once that day. And I think that made the day even more special. So, you know, if you invest anywhere, like absolutely in these videos, and they're phenomenal production quality these days, because you don't necessarily have a full length video of your whole ceremony, which can be a little dull. You have this like spectacular, like 5-minute adventure through all the details and the special moments of the day. And it's like captures all the special moments in a way that's just like really invigorating and helps you relive it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think like also I wanted to mention for my experience, like a big experience for a lot of women is the dress and shopping for that. It was a roller coaster. I did go to an actual bridal shop where I looked at full length gowns, and I loved that. But also I later on ended up just purchasing a lot of different white dresses from different websites. I mean, like everything from Macy's, Anthropologie, Nordstrom's, there's white dresses that are not wedding dresses that are gorgeous. And sometimes they work better for some people, and people might feel more comfortable in them for their style. So for me, I ended up finding this lovely lace wedding dress that went down around about at my knees, that was like a bell pick style, and had a little lace detail on the shoulders. And for me, that was perfect. I purchased a veil on Etsy. I found a sparkling bridal belt on Etsy. And I had some jewelry that my mom gave me. And for me, like, that helped me to kind of like really come together and like step into that being a bride.
Right.
Without having to break the bank.
Yeah. I think one of the things I've been curious about, like I said, I saw this all happen on Facebook, but had a newborn. It could have been 5 months. I would have believed you. But what struck me about you guys and wanting to know your story is I feel like couples get caught up in the wedding industry and what it means to have a wedding. And I feel like couples don't invest in the partnership and in the couple and in the marriage they're starting. And when I saw how fast you went from engaged to married, I was like, they have to be in sync about their priorities or this wouldn't have happened. Because if you believe in the bridal dreams, if you only believe in the big party so everybody sees you, you might, you know, if you only believe in that, you might be engaged and never get to your marriage because it could fall apart, because life is hard. And, you know, waiting 2 years when you're just waiting to throw a party, you know, that could be a big letdown. That could cause couples to struggle and not find alignment. And it sounds like, so I knew that was in your story. And it sounds like from the very beginning, you know, you guys were teammates and you guys had a plan that you talked about and worked together in your relationship even before marriage. And now you guys are married and that's your foundation, you know, not your pictures are perfect, but there's so much more perfection in your story than just, you know, beautiful wedding pictures. And I worry for a lot of couples that have maybe a weaker foundation than that. You know, I really believe in marriage. I really believe in it. It's a gift, right? In church, we talk about marriage as a gift from God. But I feel like if you're just chasing like the big wedding and don't do the work of the big promises you're making, it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard.
I think we said many times, like even in those 3 weeks between engagement and the wedding, and even right before the engagement, I started looking around at the world and I'm like, wait a second, everything's getting pushed back until 2021. what does that mean for us? And we started really kind of like talking to each other about how do we really, like, do people want a wedding or marriage, or do they just want a wedding? Like, do they just want the party?
And I find that to be a big problem with some people that I'm like associated with. Like, you see a lot of people that get engaged, doesn't even matter when, early 20s, mid 20s, late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, depends who you are, that they're very focused on the party, the idea of getting married, but not the concept of it. You know what I mean? I think once that becomes a reality with some people, fall, you know, that's where it ends up falling apart. Never once did we have that. You know?
Yeah, we were, it's been, I think, great that we focused on, let's do the ceremony and let's give it all the respect and the commitment that I think it really deserves, like, because it's so, such a serious and important moment. And I love that by making it small, I mean, I think I was able to like really feel vulnerable and like give into the moment and put all of my heart and my feelings into that day. And
it was because also you didn't have to say hi to thousands of people that you didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that too. You got to spend time with the people you really care about.
Yeah.
I mean, really, like, I'll be honest. I feel like most people would have this. I can't speak for everybody, but if you have a 500 person wedding, and I mean, the most important people are the people that are going to be sitting at your, the front tables. I mean, right? Most people you don't end up knowing. So it's really, I think it was a blessing that we didn't have to deal with that. Not that people don't matter to us in life, but we were really focused around a family event, you know, between my family, her family, and between us. And we, it was really nice not having to waste a lot of, you know, kind of dead time, not enjoying the day together, instead of having to go see a lot of people, and some people you may not even met before. You know what I mean? So I think personally, I feel like we both made a really good choice there.
Yeah, I could genuinely spend very good quality time with every individual that was there that day. And that just can't happen with really big weddings. My dad even mentioned, you know, it's a luxury to get any time with the bride on the wedding day. And thankfully, because it was such an intimate group, I was genuinely having these beautiful conversations and moments with everyone there. So I love that part of it. And in a way, it's given us a really good excuse to be able to do it two ways. If we want, we can have this and just love that day and cherish that. And but I will say, I believe we have plans for a reception.
Once our things are becoming more definite, like we'll have a bit, we'll do that.
Yeah. There's been no planning yet.
But it's still hard to plan. You know what I mean? And everything's still booked right now. With time being moved back and back and back because of the pandemic.
I will not be planning anything for sure. I will not be having a full event until I know that everyone I know who would attend would at least have the opportunity for the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And that's just important to me. You know, I think we're still playing it day by day and figuring out, you know, whenever that time will come for us. But I certainly want that for us, for our loved ones who I know many of them were not able to be there at our small wedding, even though both Philip and I have a lot of family that we would love to have celebrate with us. So we'll do that sometime in the future.
I think what's great is you have the option to throw a big party that's just celebrating your marriage in the future, if that's what you guys want, you know?
Yeah.
And you'll always have this gift that you already have.
I want to say too is one thing that's made me really happy and grateful about choosing to get married and now have, you know, be husband and wife through all of this is that this is a lifelong commitment. I'm so grateful to have a partner in this now, in this journey, especially in what we're going through today and whatever we're going to go through in the future. I feel like it gives me a sense of like, I hope you do too, like security and feeling a lot of comfort. I mean, every evening to be able to sit together, relax, laugh, and
I always think if we got all that stuff done in 2020, there's not much that, you know, if we don't put our effort into, we can't get done.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's how I feel.
It's been really comforting, reassuring, and just makes me feel really good that we're a team and we've got this. So
absolutely. I think there's no better way to wrap that up. I think that's the perfect words to end on. Do you guys have anything else for
Can I just say the biggest surprise that day was, besides seeing Laura for the first time walking down the aisle, was I didn't know that the pastor was going to be similar to an NBA power forward in height.
He's
I had no idea. Like Laura said, yeah, he's tall. But I didn't know he would be just as tall as the other, you know, NBA power forwards and centers in that league. I was like, wow.
Yes.
I wish I had some of that height.
Yeah. So Josh has two kids, an almost 8-year-old and an almost 6-year-old. And they will be taller than me by next spring. I mean, there's some height there in the Erickson, in the Erickson team over there. I don't know if you guys know this, but Josh married me and my husband too. Do you guys know this?
No, I didn't know that.
So back way a million bajillion years ago, I actually met my husband and Josh around the same time. And I was a college kid volunteering at the youth group that Josh ran. And so I've known him since back when I was a college kid. And then when my husband and I were getting married, we were living out in New Jersey at the time. But we got married in my home church and we invited Josh to do our wedding because I'd known him, you know, that whole time.
Where in New Jersey did you live? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So we will have to definitely follow up more on this because my husband was a collegiate strength coach for a while. So we were in Princeton. That's where I got my graduate
degree. Yeah, I spent a lot of time out east, you know.
Yeah, we were in Princeton I was there for 6 years. We did long distance for 2. So Terry was there for 4.
Oh, good for you to get through that.
Yeah. Wow. So your 2020 was like our 2 years of long distance, you know, was like when that came to an end, we were like, oh yeah, we got this world. We know we're solid. But yeah, so he was at Princeton University and he was a strength coach for a handful of their Olympic sports, but then at the end was running their football strength
program. Very cool.
Yeah.
So we know that athletic schedule and that athletics life.
So. Yeah.
It's a gift, and the community that comes with athletics is great, but the schedules are bananas.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Well, I hope eventually I can get into a college.
Yeah.
You know, I coached, I didn't really mention this, but I was the assistant coach at a D3 school in Milwaukee School of Engineering. Okay. And I was there for like 7-8 years, just being an assistant. And I think down here, just because there's more universities, more colleges, that's where I'd like to end up eventually. It's going to be a waiting game. It's going to take a while, you know, because it's such a high demand job by thousands and thousands of people in, you know, my field. That's where I'd like to end up. So,
yeah, that's exciting.
And, you know, I'll just add there too that, so prior to our wedding day, Josh, of course, had several phone calls with us about planning the ceremony and, you know, the prayers and how we wanted the sermon to go, how long. And we told him a little bit about ourselves. And then the day of, I was a little surprised because he highlighted a few different
soccer analogies thrown in. Like, I was like, wow, good stuff. That's very clever.
Family really appreciate it.
Yeah, they did, because my dad was a big-time soccer player, and he still is a big coach. And my brother was a college athlete, too. So
okay.
My family definitely appreciated that from Josh.
I greatly appreciate, like, the personal touch and all the care and attention paid to planning that day and to helping make it come together. I mean, it was just the greatest. So hard to believe we were one of the only events that had gone on there. In like 5 months.
That's amazing. Well, it was such a bright spot in the church's year too, you know. Churches are about gathering people together. And so when that can't happen, churches are like, what are we doing? Who are we and what are we doing? And so it was a gift for the church to be able to be a part of the beginning of your love, you know, not the beginning of your love story, but the beginning of your marriage for sure.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And churches love when kids of their church come back and get married there and want to be a part of their life. And, you know, that that brings a lot of joy to a lot more people than you even know. So
yes. I remember seeing on, I love, like, on Facebook, I'm still friends with many of the people who are part of the my church, like, class growing up, the people who I went through confirmation class with, the people who I went on my, like, four or five different mission trips with, and I'm still friends with them, and they, I've loved seeing their photos of them getting married at the church, and I've always thought, like, oh, like, it makes my heart warm, because I knew that one day I would want that for myself, and it's been so beautiful to see, mm-hmm. and have it come to life, and to have Philip be so supportive of having it down here and having your family come. So
yeah,
I've loved.
And our family just mixed just like that. It's great.
Yeah. What a gift.
Also, I hope your listeners get a chance to see our video.
Yes.
Very, very good. I think it's worth seeing.
I think so too. So Josh sent it. Jacob sent it to Josh. Josh sent it to me. I don't know. I saw it. And I had goosebumps. And I, like I said, we're internet friends. I haven't even, like, met you in real life. And I was like, look at this beautiful love story happening in the middle of a pandemic in our church. Like,
yes.
We're part of this.
Yeah.
So we are going to share your video. I told Laura we were going to steal some pictures for our website because it was that phenomenal. So we're excited
awesome.
To share that with you guys. With you people on the podcast.
Thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting us into your life and into your story a little bit. So.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.